Your Bibles, if you would please, or follow along on the screen. We have two passages we're going to be reading this morning. Reading from 1 Samuel chapter 13, verses 13 and 14, and then in the New Testament, Acts chapter 13, verse 22. Would you please stand in honor and respect for the ever-living, eternally holy, inerrant, infallible, miraculously inspired, written Word of God, and for the God of the written Word. 1 Samuel, chapter 13, verse 13 and 14. I'm reading from the New King James Version. And Samuel said to Saul, "You have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which He commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for Himself a man after His own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be commander over His people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you." Now if you'll turn to Acts chapter 13, verse 22, still reading from the New King James Version. "And when he had removed him, he raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, 'I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will.'" Father, as we have opened your word and as we have read it, we ask if you would bless the reading of your word. Bless us this morning, Lord, as we listen to your word, as you speak to us through your servant. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, David is one of the most renowned, interesting, inspiring characters in the Bible. He was a shepherd. He was a giant killer. He was a mighty warrior and a talented musician and the greatest king that ever led Israel. But David also, believe it or not, had a dark side to his character. You see, he was guilty of both adultery and murder. His arrogant disobedience of God's ban to conduct a census led to the death of 70,000 Israelites. Folks, when I read this, and as I stand in front of you, I know you don't have the foggiest of the weight that that passage puts on my heart. Because the last thing I ever want to do is to mislead you, is to disobey God in such a way that it would cause you to suffer. And that's what happened to David. He disobeyed God, and the children of God suffered. Even with these moral and personal failures, God said that David, he was a man after my own heart. Have you ever wondered why David is called a man after God's own heart? I mean, goodness gracious, we just read there was adultery, there was murder, there was blatant disobedience. How could God say that David was a man after his own heart? Well, before we answer that question, there are some basic things that we need to understand about how God views a man's heart. Not how we view a man's heart, but how God views a man's heart. Number one, there are some situations, folks, that capture the favor, the affection, and the attention of God's heart. Ultimately, number two, it is God's evaluation that matters, not ours. Number three, you and I can follow and capture the heart of God. And number four, one does not have to live a perfect life in order to follow the heart of God. That's obvious what we just read. But there are some important things that we need to be aware of as well. The Bible says in Romans chapter 15, verse 3, that things in the past were written to encourage and instruct us. And as we examine David's life, there are four distinct qualities that emerge and define his life as a man after God's own heart. Now, simply because the Scripture says and tells us that there are there's a dark side of David, folks, that does not give us free rein to go out and do whatever we good well please. We still have to be obedient to the Word of God. David paid for the dark side. So we don't want to wind up having to pay for the dark side. First, to earnestly follow the heart of God, we must declare God's praise. Now, praise is one of the most recognized and celebrated aspects of David's life. He consistently deflected praise that was directed to him, to God. He gave glory to God. Every time praise was given to him, he deflected that praise to God because he knew that wasn't anything that he had done to deserve that praise, but it was because of God, so he deflected the praise back to him. There are numerous expressions of praise, of thanksgiving, and worship included in the Psalms and other scriptures that record David's praise. Dr. Stephen Alford said of David, he was a man after God's heart because he abounded with expressions of praise more than anyone mentioned in Scripture. The blend of confessing sin and thanksgiving for the mercy of God made him wholly acceptable to God. Most Americans work at their play and play at their worship. It is pathetic to listen to the attempts of some to offer prayer and praise. In light of David's devotional life, they have hardly begun. That's taken from his book, Fresh Lessons from Former Leaders. Folks, it's not enough just to know that God is great. We must express our worship to God. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 reminds us that an acceptable sacrifice is the fruit of our lips. It says, therefore, by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. There's also other acceptable sacrifices mentioned in Scripture. However, one of the defining characteristics of David's life was his passionate declaration of praise. Second, if we are to earnestly follow the heart of God, we must depend on God's provision. For example, in the Battle of Goliath, David refuses to wear King Solomon's armor because it didn't fit him. It was too big for him. Not only did the armor not fit physically, but folks, it really didn't fit him spiritually either. You see, David recognized what other soldiers failed to see, that the battle against Goliath was not a military battle. It was a challenge of faith to determine the one true God. Folks, do you have a Goliath in your life right now? As a Christian, if you have, and if you don't, you probably will, and you probably already have, if you have a Goliath in your life right now, that Goliath is not a battle fight for you. It is rather a challenge of faith to determine the one true God in your life. Listen to David's response to Goliath's ridicule about the way that David was dressed. David said this, "I come against you in the name of the living God of Israel, whom you have defiled." In another battle, prior to assuming the throne, David led his mighty men to defeat the enemy at Ziklag. Now, this was a critical time in the life of David because some of the men were considering rejecting his leadership. They were considering mutiny, turning against him, and killing him. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 3 through 8, that David inquired and found strength in the Lord. That's what we need to do. When we find ourselves facing that Goliath, we need to come before the Lord God Almighty and fall before Him, kneel before Him, and cry out to Him and say, "Lord, I pray to You. I ask for Your strength, Your wisdom, and Your leadership as I go forth claiming Your name and proclaiming who You are in my life." While he was living in exile, David demonstrated tremendous trust in God's sovereignty by refusing to kill King Saul. If you remember, there were numerous occasions when David could have taken the life of Saul, but he refused to do so. He was trusting in God and God's timing, not his timing, or the men who were in the back of that cave who said, "Go up there while he's using the restroom and kill him." And David's first, he went up with a knife and he started to, but then he had conviction and he said, "I can't do that." And he cut the end of the robe off and refused to take his life. He refused to listen to the words of the world, the encouragement from the world saying, "Oh, it's okay, go ahead, go ahead." He said, "No, I will trust in the timing of my God and my Savior." He was willing to wait upon God's provision instead of pushing forward with a selfish agenda. David had already been anointed as the future king by the prophet of Samuel. The position was his, rightfully his. But David patiently waited for God's timing. Saul's arrogance and impatience is an amazing contrast to David's dependence and trust in the Lord. And because of Saul's arrogance and impatience, God stripped the kingdom from Saul and from his family. Saul fell prey to what Leonard Sweet calls believing that the trees move the wind. I like that statement. He believed that the trees move the wind rather than the wind moving the trees. David's dependence and trust in the Lord is beautifully expressed in numerous psalms. One, Psalm 27:1, and there's a song, a beautiful song, that I'll have to dig out of my mothballs and sing for you someday. The Lord is the light of my salvation, whom I shall fear. He is the stronghold of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm chapter 3, verse 3. You, Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. Psalm chapter 9, verse 9. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. Thirdly, and closely related to David's commitment to declare praise to God, is his desire to seek God's presence. The third quality, this third quality, defines a heart that is seeking after God. Public praise is a vital part of our journey of faith, but our corporate praise, folks, should flow from our personal relationship with God. You see, just as an iceberg, and I love these pictures, I've used them before, you probably recognize it, but just as an iceberg reveals only a portion of its size on top of the water, there is a much greater portion remaining under the water. That is mind-boggling. Likewise, David had a deep passion for pursuing the presence of God. Psalm 119 describes his personal desire to study the Scriptures, to meditate upon God's Word, to feast upon the honey contained in the holy teachings of God's Word. David's writings express his emotional confessions of sin, his great desire to dwell in the presence of God, and his greatest fear, which was being separated from the God that he loved. With all of that said, I'm convinced that the fourth point is the primary reason that God describes David as a man after his own heart. You see, David never stopped believing that Almighty God desires to manifest or display His power and glory upon this earth. And as a teenager, David believed God. David believed that God would deliver him from Goliath, just as He had delivered him from the lion and from the bear. Later, as king, David even wanted to build a temple that would display the glory and majesty of God. Sadly, I say, very few saints, Christians, today live with a desire to experience the supernatural power of God. Most Christians are content just to attend church, sing a few songs, praise the Lord, say hallelujah, glory be to God, and learn some biblical principles that make their life easier, make them feel a little bit better. David lived according to the prayer of Moses that is recorded in Psalm 90, 17. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us. Establish the work of our hands. What is the work of our hands, folks? Is God's work established through our hands? Or are we just content to come to church and enjoy the beautiful music that these ladies give us on Sundays and enjoy the songs and be lifted spiritually? But then when we walk out the doors, is that it? Do we leave it all here? Do we fold it up, pack it up, send it over? Okay, I'm going to be back in that spot again next Sunday. I'll pick it up and I'll... Are we content just to do that, folks? David believed God wanted to demonstrate His divine favor, His supernatural blessing through his life as a shepherd boy and as the king of Israel. This type of living is what Henry Blackaby says, believing God for God-sized tasks. It is what the Lord Jesus prayed in John chapter 15, verse 8, when He prayed that His followers would bear much fruit for the Father's glory. The Bible is very clear that God is pleased by lives that demonstrate great faith. Romans chapter 1, verse 17 tells us that the righteous live by faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 declares that it is impossible to please God without faith. In his book, Fresh Faith, by Jim Cimbala, Jim Cimbala states that the greatest theft that Satan has ever committed, get this, is stealing faith from the church. Amen. He goes on to say that because of some abuses that have been committed by some in the church, in the Christian community, followers of Christ do not believe God wants to display His power. We're afraid to say, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I believe. Because we don't want to be classified as over-religious. Satan has stolen that from us, folks. What I said earlier, I want us to begin to claim the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit of God. And what's going to happen here through this live broadcast that we're doing here, through our webpage, through our lives as individuals, as we leave this building each time we have a service, going out into the community with the gospel, with the love of Jesus Christ, and sharing it with folks one-on-one, and telling them that there is joy, there is hope, there is salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we share that, they will come to Him, they will be drawn to Him by the power of His Holy Spirit. Folks, nowhere in the Bible do you find David or any of the other prophets of God saying the great demonstrations of power were only for the days of Moses and Joshua. Nowhere in God's Word will you find that. David prayed for supernatural anointing. I challenge each and every one of us to pray for the supernatural anointing of the Holy Spirit of God to fall upon us individually and to fall upon us as a corporate body of believers to reach out into the community of La Coste and Medina County and Bexar County and wherever we go, Atascosa County, to touch the hearts and lives of people so that they will know and they will find the everlasting hope of eternal joy with Jesus Christ. C.S. Lewis said, when we consider the staggering nature of the rewards promised in the Gospels, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures fooling around with drink, sex, and ambition when infinite joy is offered to us. We are like an ignorant child who wants to go making mud pies because we cannot imagine what is meant by a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. We need to pray and ask God to fall upon each and every one of us. David captured the heart of God because he expected great and mighty things from God. And under God's leadership, David attempted great things for God. Y'all remember back in October when I first mentioned to you the idea of us buying time on Kens5.com. We had some opposition to it. Oh, we don't want to do that. But I felt the challenge in my heart that we needed to so that we could reach out. And Sandy just shared with us a while ago that how many 47,000 hits have been on that since November. Folks, that's 47,000 folks that would have never known about us if we had not had the faith and determination to believe God, to reach out and say, God, I'm trusting you to lead us, to reach this community, to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who will never probably darken the steps of this door, of this church, but will hear your message and your gospel because we've had faith in you and we believe that you are going to take your message and you will carry it out. The scripture is very specific when it says that His word will not go without rewards. People will hear and God will bless as a result of that. David had many flaws, yes. I've got many flaws, yes. But David also had an amazing faith that pleased God. The beautiful description of David as a man after God's heart is not limited to a teenage boy, a teenage giant killer, but rather this divine condemnation is available to all, every one of us who declare God's praise, who depend on God's provision, who desire God's presence and display God's power. In just a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to sing a hymn that we've sung many times. But folks, the words of this song are so important because it says, trust and obey. It's not just trust, then walk out and do your own thing. It's trust God. Take Him at His word and then obey His word. Are you, Christian, this morning, willing to take that challenge? Are you willing to say, to go before God in your quiet time or here this morning and say, Lord God, I pray and ask for the anointing of your Spirit to be upon my life. And then trust Him to lead you. And then obey Him in that trust. Are you willing to do that? This message has been 99% for you, the believer. But if you by chance are hearing this and you're not a believer in Christ, before you can do what I just said, before you can ask for the anointing power of God to fall upon you, you've got to be part of His family. And if you've never, ever asked God to come into your heart and into your life as Savior and Lord, I challenge you to do that this morning. It's quite simple. All you have to do is say, Lord, I'm sorry. And mean it. And mean it. Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Come into my heart as my Savior. And be my Lord. Then Romans chapter 10 verse 9 says, if you do that, if you confess Him as your Savior and Lord, He will come into your heart and you will be saved. I challenge you to do that and then commit your life totally, completely to Him. As we stand and as we sing our song of invitation, you come and you make that decision for Jesus Christ and make it public today as well. In Jesus' name, as we sing, you come.